Welcome to Aware. We are dedicated to communicating information that inspires your positive growth and change. Are you interested in a peaceful planet? Are you interested in optimal health? Are you living with purpose? Are you enjoying your life? We realize each person can make a difference, and our mission is to empower your awareness. The choices that you make in every moment shape your life, and we encourage you to realize that you have your own answers and to always listen to your own truth. We invite you to stay aware. Hello and welcome to the Aware Show. I am Lisa Garr, and it's such a joy and a privilege to be here today with you. Thank you so much for joining me in this transformational media hour. Now, I know that you've heard about, on the news, we hear about celebrities having issues with rehab and addiction. But what about the dangers? That's usually chemical addictions and drug addictions and alcohol and so forth. But what about the dangers of love and relationship addiction? And this is not, of course, only exclusive to celebrities. What about you listening? Do you have an addiction to a relationship or not to staying in a relationship? All sorts of different fears of intimacies. I read a study once that 25% of millennials do not want to ever marry. And so what is really happening to the institution of marriage? It's evolving. It's changing. Joining me is celebrity rehab host from VH1, and she's also been on many other appearances, CNN Headline News, lots of news channels, KTLA, our local news here, Sherry Gaba, and thank you so much for joining me. She has such a wonderful approach with people in terms of rehab. Thanks for joining me, my friend.
Oh, thanks for having me, Lisa. Like I was saying before, I've been following you a long time, and, you know, I love what you're doing out there, so it's an honor to be here.
Well, you are so low-key, my friend. I mean, you've been on all these amazing shows, and you've helped every celebrity out there, and you can see it, but you have such a beautiful approach to you. You're such a friend when you're talking to these people.
Yeah, I guess it's humility. That's part of the program, you know, the 12-step program. The one that I'm in would be Al-Anon, which is for the people that love the addict, and also part of, you know, having the codependent piece and the love addiction piece. Mm-hmm. So I've been kind of on the other side of the disease, you know. People do talk a lot about, you know, substance abuse. That was my groundbreaking work in celebrity rehab. But what I found and what I have found, and I have the same issue myself, is, you know, these people get sober and then suddenly they're in a relationship and they're suddenly addicted to love. And people don't think of love as being an addiction. They think, oh, well, maybe it's just an obsession or something. But it's actually really a process or lifestyle addiction. It's anything like food or binge eating or sex addiction or addiction to exercise or internet or gaming or work or shopping or spending. It's really just as powerful. And it actually, you know, sets up this mood-altering activity and behavior that creates almost the identical euphoric state that a junkie would have for his heroin. Mm. So it really is a true addiction.
It's like a super ego. Have you ever struggled with any addiction yourself?
Well, I would say that I am a codependent and a love addict. That's part of my story in my latest book, The Relationship and the Marriage and Relationship Junkie, is that I married multiple times because my addiction was I could not be without a relationship. Mm-hmm. I felt empty and felt alone, and just like the addict fills themselves up with or numbs themselves out or becomes unconscious with drugs or alcohol, my drug of choice was, if you love me, then I will heal that wound. You know, it goes back to a lot of parental issues and mother issues. And the biggest thing that I often talk about, which people really appreciate, is I was an incubator baby. I was in an incubator for 3 months, didn't meet my mom for 3 months. And people know that without that early attachment and early bonding, that sets you up for a lot of issues later on in relationships. You're constantly needing connection. In other words, you're needing your mommy kind of thing. Mm. So It's it kind of was a shameful subject, and I didn't understand what was wrong with me. And then when I started doing some really deep trauma work, I finally, you know, could put a label on it and go, oh my God, you know, I have trauma. I have trauma, early childhood trauma. And you know, it's a disease like anything else. We have to have respect and compassion and forgiveness for the choices that we make so that we can help others, in my case, and not repeat those patterns.
I wouldn't say it's a disease in your case, though, because those bonding neurotransmitters and hormones and so forth did not get activated. So how could that be labeled as a disease?
You mean like a medical disease, or do you mean when you say? I mean, it's not
attachment.
Like a cancer disease.
Right.
It's not like when I say disease, it's just. I guess that's a really good question. I don't know if you can call it a disease, but we call addiction a disease.
I know. I've heard that so many times, and I'm wondering why.
Okay. Well, there's a genetic predisposition. You know, we know that addiction is passed down from family to family. I mean, in my case, mm-hmm. my grandmother was a love addict, my mother's a love addict, and I am. We've all made terrible, terrible choices in our lives around not wanting to be alone and being filled up by a partner or a relationship. So I'm kind of taking the leap of faith and saying, yeah, this is like any other, you know, addiction. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it probably is a disease if it keeps repeating itself in the family, but it is a genetic predisposition. That's what makes it a disease. Also, an addict's brain is wired differently than a person that we would call a normie. They, you know, the brain of an addict is that they want more and more and more, and it's never enough. It lights up differently. It crosses a line into addiction. So, sure, I'm probably using the word disease sort of freely, but all I know is that the results of it can be just as horrific and dangerous and painful.
Mm, yes, I understand. And also about that whole idea of never wanting to be alone, within the love addiction, do you also attract the wrong or the unavailable, I should say, men?
Yeah, there is this pattern of love addict, love avoidant, where you go for the person that's unavailable. For me, unavailable is either they were an alcoholic or they were emotionally unavailable. Let me give you some of the signs and symptoms so that your listeners might know what if they have a love addiction. It would be things like over-adapting to what others want, not being able to create boundaries, not being able to say no when they meet, you know, they say yes when they want to say, when they really, they mean no. A fear of letting go, a fear of the unknown, and attempting to change others, wanting to fix them, needing others to feel whole, like you don't feel like anything until you are with somebody, then they have, quote, completed you. Mm. Kind of like that line in the Tom Cruise movie where Renee Zegwig says something like, you complete me, right? And it's like, oh, God, love addiction. And then if you listen to a lot of songs, you know, there's so many songs out there that really are filled with codependency and love addiction. But you're basically looking for others for that affirmation and that validation and that self-worth, that if you like me, you're a reflection of me and I'm something because you're with me. Another sign would be that, which for me was the biggie, fearing abandonment, withdrawal symptoms, so that if there was a divorce or a breakup or something, there's this like, this withdrawal, like I said, like a junkie would have, needing their fix. You just feel like, oh my God, what am I going to do? And in today's day, with all this text dating and dating apps and internet dating and so forth, you can actually get addicted to that whole scene because it's just an instant gratification of somebody, you know, liking me, following me, choosing me, picking me. You know, thank God I've worked on my issues, so that's not one of my issues. But I know that I see people in my practice that come in, and, you know, I have married men that come in, and, you know, this isn't just a woman issue. I have married men that come in, and they're like, look, they're fishing the internet just to get that validation. They're starting these, like, Facebook relationships or dating app relationships, and they have no intention of ever meeting the person. They're not even real because they're married. But they're looking for that acknowledgement and validation. And then, you know, finally, I think the love addict gives up who they are out of a fear that they'll lose someone. You know, they just need that approval. So they'll become somebody that maybe they're not just to keep that person close to them.
Mm-hmm. This sounds like I understand why millennials would not want to get married. It's a complicated topic. Their relationships do require work. So That's well, first of all, self-awareness. And then when you become self-aware, at least even a little bit, you've then got to understand and learn how that person, yourself, fits into another person who might not even be as far along the path as you or even further.
Yeah, well, a lot of millennials, like, for instance, my daughter, who's in her early 30s and has a baby, she has a boyfriend. They have a baby together. They're very happy.
Very common.
She has no desire to get married. She's a successful publicist, and she doesn't feel the need to get married. You know, she bought their house, and, you know, she's fine just the way it is. Now, of course, she has a mother that was married multiple times, so that may have something to do with it, unfortunately, and I can't help that. But I don't think that's the main reason. I think she really just likes her independence.
So if millennials are rethinking the institution of marriage, and I was speaking with Catherine Woodward Thomas, a friend of ours, both of ours, and she said the highest divorce rates are those that are in long-term marriages, the ones that are actually exiting long-term marriages. So you have these two ends of the spectrum, people exiting long-term marriages and people not getting married. How do you use this topic of addressing love addiction to solving those problems? There's got to be a through line there.
Well, I have a feeling the long-term relationships these divorces and separations are happening because people have so many options today to meet people. It's like a candy store. They get online, and there's, you know, one person's better than the next person. You know, I'm in my 50s. I've been out there, and I know what that's about. And so there's more options for men and women. You know, they don't have to, quote, settle like maybe they would have. Maybe they feel they settled. I mean, you certainly don't want people to stay married if they're unhappy. Are they getting married? Are they getting divorced because they're a love addict? Well, I think the whole dating scene sets a person up for some of this love addiction stuff, because there you are on that app and you're just, you know, who's richer and taller and prettier and, you know, has more money and, you know, whatever it is that is on your list, there's always somebody going to be better. And so I think that is like a love addiction, because you're constantly wanting more and it's never enough, and you're looking for the next best thing. So I don't know how to solve that. And then the worst part is, because it's internet dating and dating apps, these people, women and men, disappear. They do what we call ghosting, where they get to know you, and then because it's just an app, or you know you haven't been fixed up by a friend, they're like, okay, next, and then they just disappear. And so I can't tell you how many clients I've come in, you know, crying because I don't know what happened. I mean, we were having these great conversations, and then boom, he stopped calling me. So to me, it's, you know, this need for validation, which is like a love addiction.
It is. The swipe left, swipe right culture of dating is totally feeding into the love addiction.
I think it's creating that. And then if you're somebody that really is unhealthy, you know, some of the things that I was talking about, for instance, not having that early bonding for me, that's what sort of set me up. And then I really had sort of an unavailable mother anyway. That was my issue. But, you know, think about children that come from alcoholic homes. Their parents were neglectful or abusive. They were unavailable. They were not emotionally available, not physically available. Perhaps they became the surrogate. The kid becomes the surrogate partner because the parent is a single parent, and so their needs are not really met. That really can set a person up for being other-focused, because you, in essence, were invisible as a child. Like, you were not noticed. Your feelings did not count, and so being invisible, that sets you up for feeling invisible. And so then you end up going for people that are invisible, that are not available to you. I don't know. Does that make sense to you, Lisa?
It all does. It all makes sense. So when you have somebody who's in front of you who has a love addiction, as you would someone who has a chemical addiction, where do you start?
Well, right now, the first place that we start is just having a conversation like we are right now. So thank God somebody on, you know, because you make this platform available, someone is going to hear us talking, and they're going to be suddenly conscious that there may be an issue here. And so the first step is the awareness. You know, that's the awareness. And then we make a decision to change. And then we learn to stop looking for external solutions for problems. You know, in the 12-step program, they have a saying, you know, it's an inside job, not an outside job. So you start seeing that everything starts from within, not all the goodies and the shiny objects that are out there. And then you kind of explore your personal fears. A real biggie is moving out of denial. examining early suppressed trauma in childhood. Now, I talked about, you know, incubator trauma, early developmental trauma, but there's other types of trauma. There's abuse, there's neglect, there's, God forbid, molestation. Mm-hmm. And then you start self-parenting. You start loving your inner child. You become the parent to that little inner child, that little Sherry, that little Lisa. You become, you know, like I was saying earlier, more loving, more forgiving, more compassionate towards yourself. And you really use the pain to grow and to prepare for, hopefully, one day a healthy relationship, if that's what you want. And then you start trusting in yourself. And, you know, just like the stages of grief, you let go. You let go of that old behavior, that old patterning. You see a good therapist. You get involved in a spiritual program. You can join Love Addicts Anonymous. There's Sex and Love Addict Anonymous meetings. There's Codependence Anonymous. There's Al-Anon. There's so many amazing 12-step programs where you can receive the support and the love that, you know, maybe you were craving with another person, but you can get from the support that you're going to get from others that really know what you're going through.
Would you tell someone who's a love addict to get off of those apps and unsubscribe from those apps, just like you would tell an alcoholic, don't walk into a bar? That's not a good idea.
I absolutely have done that, and it's very difficult. If I see that they're getting into these patterns of constantly being ghosted, being rejected, they're getting more and more depressed, they're feeling more and more, you know, feeling less than, they're personalizing it, they're taking it, you know, personally, I say, yes, you need to take a break. You need to take at least, you know, I try to say 1 month at a time, you know, but really the truth is if somebody's really got a love addiction, they really need 6 months to a year to really work on themselves. But, you know, just like any disease, you tell somebody that and they're like, no way. It's like telling an alcoholic you can't ever drink again. You don't say that. You say one day at a time. Mm. So you can start there. You can say, okay, one day at a time, you know, can you just try not to be on that dating app? Can you try not to sign up for another internet dating site?
And do something else instead, like, you know, like a class or a course or something like that.
Well, yeah, it's just like with the addict alcoholic, you want to replace it with something that gives you meaning and gives you purpose. I mean, I'm so grateful that I love my work. At the moment, I'm single, and sometimes it's lonely, but I have, you know, worked on these issues, and, you know, there's a saying, enough pain, there will be gain, and finally, I decided I'm going to spend time getting to know me. I've actually been doing that for quite a while. I go to meetings myself, even though I'm a licensed clinician and a life coach. I still, you know, go to meetings, and I think that it can happen to anybody. You know, it can happen to the smartest women. Another big issue that kind of plays around this subject is falling in love with a narcissist. I have a lot of clients that come in that are, you know, bright and intelligent and have great jobs and great careers, and they're like, oh, my God, I just married a guy that has completely taken me to the cleaners, and I don't know how this happened to me. And so there's a big movement right now to really help, you know, women and men who fall in love with these narcissists, because narcissists are, on many levels, sociopaths. They're very manipulative, and they can suck a woman in.
This
really
is an
easily.
Interesting trend. It's a very interesting trend because of the
men
used to be the breadwinners, and now there's a backlash where the women are the breadwinners, and some of the men. Remember the term gold diggers?
Yes.
Yeah, and there's a very interesting phenomenon.
I would say so.
Is a swing.
I would say so. It's happening to my mother right now, and she probably won't hear this show, so I can talk about it, and I hope it helps somebody else out there. But we lost my father, and a couple of months later, this gigolo, 12 years younger than her, followed her home to her big house and moved right in and hasn't left and is completely financially taking advantage of her. We're now having to deal with some legal things. And It's pretty awful because not only we're dealing with dementia piece, we're dealing with her loss and her loneliness. And these men know how to do that. He has my mother convinced that, I'm not kidding, she will die if he leaves her.
Ooh, wow. That's
sick. It's really sick out there. Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is absolutely true.
I think there's, you know, a lot to consider. I mean, being a relationship expert and an addict expert these days, you have to be aware of so many of the things going on. It's a different culture, and it's changing so fast, Sherry, this culture of hookups now. Before, it used to be send a note and get, you know, this is probably 30 years ago, but you'd send a note and somebody would say that they like you, and now you text someone, hook up, never see them again. And it's very, very pervasive in our younger culture.
So it can almost create that love addiction feeling because just not normal. Mm-hmm. I mean, and some of the feelings of withdrawal that maybe your listeners might be able to relate to if this has happened to them is there's this, it's agonizing, and you feel really empty, and you feel kind of obsessive, and you kind of go into a panic, and there's a sense of not knowing who you are and the feeling you'll never find love again. But, of course, the positive side is if you have the opportunity to become whole again, you know, you do have that opportunity. You know, withdrawing is a time to just meet yourself, get to know yourself again, your authentic, precious self that you've been pretty much avoiding with whether it's drugs, alcohol, love, you know, sex, internet, food. You know, this is the time to get to know that part of you that you've been avoiding, you know, sort of that shadow side, I guess. And it's time for self-love and healing and healing a healthier relationship. So even though it can be just so excruciating and terrorizing and painful, you can take that pain and really use it in a really positive way if you get the right help.
So it's interesting also because there's not a role model at home of the 50 to 70% divorce rate, depending on what you read. You don't have a model at home on how to stay in a committed relationship. And then your first experiences with the tech culture and our social media culture is a very shallow, painful, emotional experience. So with the hookups and so forth. So
I mean, there's even hookup sites where married people are hooking up with other married people that want to cheat on their spouses. I'm sure you've heard of Ashley Madison. Maybe not. But that's a site.
Thank goodness I haven't.
Yep. That's out there too. That people that actually don't want to leave their partners, they're don't you know, cheaper to keep her. I don't know what their thoughts are. And they go out and they all want to cheat. You know, they just monogamy is not where it's at. It's awful because, you know, you could be bringing diseases home, you're lying. I mean, every moral value, you know, every value system is completely botched with these kinds of sites.
Wow, this sounds hopeless.
No, it's not hopeless.
Okay,
it's just,
tell us why.
This is just the culture we're living in. I mean, if you look at pornography, that's on the rampage. Sex addiction is on the rampage because of pornography on the internet. So, yes, we have to start having conversations. We have to start dialoguing. We have to start talking to our kids, you know, when they're younger. I mean, there's a great book by Brenda Schaefer. She talks about teen love addiction. And if anybody thinks their kids are dealing with something like this, you definitely want to pick that book up. And then, of course, my book, The Marriage and Relationship Junkie, is the person that lives in the fantasy that they'll only be whole and happy if they're in a relationship. And in the book, on every chapter, I have all kinds of tools and exercises and journaling and ways to just start, you know, kind of like just picking up, you know, just peeling the layers away, pretty much.
What do you do? You said that you're single right now and you're working on yourself. And there's not as many bookstores to go to anymore. I used to go to bookstores and hang out on the bookshelves. But where do you go? What do you do? How do you not get lonely?
You know, I love my work. I have girlfriends. I'm a new grandma. I have a 2-year-old. I think that's a huge thing, is that I could literally on a Saturday night go over there, sleep over, and spend time with my baby. So that's been huge for me. It's been just a godsend, really, on so many levels, because I get to almost experience this presence with this baby that one might have not, that I probably didn't experience when I was a baby.
Of course
and
not.
So
yeah, I mean, or with your child, because we
or with my
presence.
Child, because I was too busy. Mm-hmm. I was a single mom running around trying to survive. Mm-hmm. So this has been delicious for me and just so healing. And then when I was in my early 50s, I took up canoeing. So I go down to Ventura and I get in a boat with 5 other people, and I'm a Pisces and I love the water. But sure, I get lonely. I do. But I between my writing career and my practice and my friends and my daughter and my granddaughter and my canoeing, you know, I have a little life. But it's not easy, but
Wonderful. It sounds wonderful. And I know that we're in a mastermind group together.
Yeah.
A great group of 8 women, and we every other week get together and just talk about what's going on and stuff. I mean, you really do stay connected, and it's wonderful.
That's the key word, Lisa, what you just said, which was beautifully said. It's connection. Like, where can we – oh, and my dog. Like, where can we get connection? That's what you're really looking for when you are a love addict. You just want to connect. That, you know, really, that's what addiction is, the absence of connection. Because think of it, if you're a drug addict or alcoholic and you're numbing out, you can't access a source. You can't access God. You can't access higher power. You can't connect to anybody because you're not there. You're not present. So – you know, that's how this whole journey, you know, just kind of woke me up. And I want to help other people, you know, I really do, because I think there is always hope.
Yes. And that is great advice. There is always hope. All right. Well, the name of the book is called The Marriage and Relationship Junkie, Kicking Your Obsession with Relationship and Learn to Love Living with Yourself. And I love that. I mean, you just addressed 15 things that you can do to have connection and really work on yourself. And it's beautiful. I mean, it's beautiful. It doesn't sound like a lonely life to me.
Well, like, you know, I know you believe in the law. I know hugely that you believe in the law of attraction. And so it gets back to, we attract what we are. So if you're empty, you're going to attract empty. If you're full, you're going to attract full. I mean, it's just that simple. The laws of the universe really do work. And I believe the healthier I'm becoming, as long as I don't have relapses, meaning, you know, taking back an ex-husband, which I did for a minute, mm-hmm. as long as I stay focused on my primary purpose of getting whole and healthy, I know that something amazing will happen one day.
Yes, and that is what you're going to attract, which is great. But you're also talking with other people about it. You've done a whole online summit about it as well.
My online summit is basically more substance abuse and some codependency. I also have a membership site called Wake Up Recovery. If people want ongoing support, that's a really amazing portal that has all kinds of interviews. And it's more on the addiction side, the substance abuse side, because I still am, you know, known as an addiction expert. As far as the love addiction goes, I have the book. I have quizzes on my website. If they want to, you know, figure out if they are a love addict, they can take that quiz. It's at sherrygaba.com. And, you know, check out the book on Amazon and all kinds of, I have all kinds of blogging, you know, free bloggings and blogs out there. Just kind of figure out if this is where you fit in. And, kind of funny, I'm now blogging on something called marriage.com, which I just think is hysterical.
About so, relationship addiction. Nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, they love my stuff, but it's completely different, you know, because it's really for marriage.
Well,
mine is like, you know, marriage junkie.
No, that makes sense, though, because you have a constant, like you might be addressing that person who's on the website where they're hooking up with other married people. This is work. It does require consciousness, connection, conversation, therapy, online courses, whatever it is. You have to stay present in your relationship and grow together, or you're going to grow apart.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, there's like I said, in the 12 steps, they always have a saying at the end of the meeting. They'll say, it works if you work it. And really, it's a brilliant saying because it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely true. You have to work at it.
A lot of those phrases and sayings stay true throughout years and years and years. So I appreciate that you're participating in that. And there's also support groups for so many different things, and you can find them all. I mean, Al-Anon's a great one as well. So all right, Sherry, keep up the good work.
Thanks,
you're helping
Lisa.
So many people. You're talking about a topic that most people would keep in the shadows of themselves, and you bring it out in a friendly way. So I really appreciate
that. Yeah, I want to take away the shame and the stigma of being married multiple times and being a love addict. There's nothing to be ashamed of. There are reasons for it.
Good point. And the same with the addiction. So thank you.
Thank you, Lisa.
All right. Good luck. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. This is Lisa Garr. I will be right back. You're listening to The Aware Show.